Well, for whatever reason, the first part of this teaching it did not record. I started recording it right in the middle of the teaching. I realized that the teaching was not recording, and I started the recording. After I'd listened to the teaching, even though it was incomplete, I decided that it was worth keeping because it still contained good information regarding speaking in tongues, and especially for the end of the teaching, when there is a good explanation of when tongues and all the other operations of the Spirit will cease to be available to believers. So enjoy what is there, even though it's incomplete. Hopefully another time I will do a teaching on this subject that actually will be complete from start to finish. And until then, this is what you get. God bless you and enjoy. So there's in the Bible, biblically, there's God who is Spirit, right? And then there's the Spirit that you have. I call it the giver and the gift, right? God gives you Holy Spirit. God is the giver. He gives you a gift of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is yours. Does everybody understand this? The giver and the gift, okay? So anyway, it's really important to understand. God who is holy and who is Spirit gives you a gift, which is holy and which is Spirit, right? But it's not the same thing. Because God who is Spirit gives you an individual, your own individual spirit. All right? And you need to understand that to understand this verse. Because what happens is when people read the Bible and they see the word Spirit, they misinterpret. They think it's talking about God when it's really talking about your individual spirit. And so we call this the giver and the gift. Okay, where God, who is holy, He is Spirit, gives to you a Holy Spirit. That's the gift. The giver and the gift. So these verses. So here we are. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. And which Spirit is that talking about? Is it talking about this one, the giver, or the gift? It's talking about the gift. Your Spirit helps your weakness because you don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself, your Spirit, through your mouth, does what? Speaks in tongues, you see? The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This one. Because He, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God by speaking in tongues. Ida, what does your Bible say? Read that last part again louder. Let me read another version. So speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. And I know King James makes this a little bit difficult. But I think, Ida, you've got what, the New Living, right? I think that's probably the best translation of this verse. Because think about it. It says the Spirit pleads with God on our behalf. I'm going to look at the New Living. So speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. If you don't know what to pray for, you can think about, let's say we want to pray for Rosa's mom. Well, we don't know exactly what to say. We're not sure what's going on, you know. And so we can think about her, you know, picture her in our mind, picture her jumping up and down and walking around and doing whatever that she can do. And then we speak in tongues for her. And God will make sure that exactly what needs to be said is said. Because Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, what if you don't know what to ask? What do you do if you don't know what to ask? God, I need to pray, but I don't know what to pray for. Well, speaking in tongues is you're going to ask exactly what needs to be said when you speak in tongues. The New Living says in verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Wow, how about that? The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with us believers in harmony with God's own will. I'm talking about speaking in tongues. It's a fantastic thing to be able to do. Some days I go to work and I turn off the radio or whatever I'm listening to and I speak in tongues. I'm in the shower, I speak in tongues. The New Living says on verse 27, "And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will." That's what the Spirit does. When you speak in tongues, that's what the Spirit does. Let's go to number 6 here. Speaking in tongues provides a way to give thanks well. If you want to thank God for something that has happened in your life, you speak in tongues. That's the way you do it, to give thanks well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." In other words, somebody's listening to you like in the church service. Remember, 1 Corinthians is correcting the Corinthians for what? Getting together and everybody wanting to speak in tongues all at once without there being an interpretation. So he's saying, you know, don't do that. You're giving thanks well. You're building yourself up. But anybody else who hears it doesn't know what you're talking about. So, speaking in tongues, give thanks well. Romans chapter 8, speaking in tongues is God bearing witness with our spirit that we are His children. Wherever you go in life, you can walk into the darkest place in the world. And you can wonder, is God here in the most spiritually dark place in the world? And guess what? You can, and I've done it where I've been into a really, like a bad part of town.
Vegas? No.
What?
Vegas?
Yeah. Or a situation that's very spiritually dark. And you know what you do? Speak in tongues. And guess what? It's proof that God is there. That's where God is. If you're there, God is there. You speak in tongues, it's proof that God is there. So it bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. It's proof positive, Romans chapter 8, that you are God's child. You know, we were talking last night to these ladies and we were telling them that it's a great day to hear your children speak in tongues because then you know that they're born again. It's proof positive. In chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You speak in tongues, it is affirmation that you are a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let's go to we covered number 7 and 8 right there. Verse 9, speaking in tongues strengthens us with might in our inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is the spiritual man, the new man. Speaking in tongues builds up that inner man. And of course, in number 10, speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers, right? We talked about that. We talked about that just the other day. And Jesus says in Mark, "These signs shall follow believers. They shall speak in other tongues." That's a sign. "They will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed." That's a sign. That's one of the things that we do to bring people, draw people to God. People will come to a meeting like this and they will hear speaking in tongues. And they'll be intrigued. They'll go, "What? I want to know about that." It's a sign. That's part of what it is. And I'm not going to go there because we've read it before, but in 1 Corinthians 14 it talks about that tongues with interpretation are a sign for the unbelievers. I'm going to skip down to number 15. Speaking in tongues declares Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 3, I believe. When I get there. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." By speaking, in other words, it says here, "I give you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit," and speaking by the Spirit, remember it says, "I can pray in the Spirit, I can pray in the understanding, I can sing in the Spirit." Speaking by the Spirit in this context is speaking in tongues. That no one, you're, you know, people, "Well, you're cursing God when you speak in tongues." No, because that's what it says here. You're not going to be cursing God when you're speaking in tongues. No one's going to be cursing God or cursing the Lord Jesus. In fact, the really only way to say that Jesus is Lord, the real way to say it, is speaking in tongues. Now certainly, can you say Jesus is Lord? We can all say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. We can all say it, right? But if you really want to say it, by gosh, there's no doubt that you're saying Jesus is Lord. It's by speaking in tongues. That's the way you do it. You see the figure of speech used there? Anybody can say Jesus is Lord, but if you really want to say it, you speak in tongues. That's the proof positive that you're born again. And to be born again, what do you have to do? Confess Jesus as what? Lord! Right! So that's how you say it. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to skip back up to number 11. Speaking in tongues gives rest to the soul. Right, you're tired, you're worn out, you've had a rough day, but you still got to keep going. You got to push ahead. You got a kickball game or something that you got to go do. Something real important like that. You take a few minutes, you sit in your car and you speak in tongues, or whatever it is, you speak in tongues. Isaiah 28. And actually, this is the one that we looked at last Sunday, because Joseph Prince, a little verse of the day, covered Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. But let's look at that, Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. So Isaiah 28, 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." And then let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, where this is quoted in 1 Corinthians 14. And the context of 1 Corinthians 14 is speaking in tongues. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. So all of these things, that you, when you speak in tongues, all of these things can happen. And here Paul quotes from Isaiah what we just read in verse 21. "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord." And then he reads, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. For prophesy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." And of course, we're not all supposed to get together. And again, as I said, Paul, this is a correction epistle. You can see what Paul was correcting. Even the next verse says, "If therefore," verse 23, "the whole church be come together unto one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those that are the unbelievers, those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" People are crazy. What are they doing in there all speaking in tongues? That's one of the things that he was correcting. And now let's wrap it up with number 16. Speaking in tongues, when exercised with its companion manifestation of interpretation, brings forth a message of edification, exhortation, and comfort to the believers.
I have a question.
Okay. I think there's a lot of reasons why they don't do it. There's a lot of doctrinal error, frankly. I mean, there's a lot of people who teach that it died with the apostles, that it died after the first century, that it's not available anymore. They don't understand it, and so what they don't understand, I mean, they just ignore. Like I said, I grew up in a Baptist church, and it was just ignored. Nobody told me it wasn't available. They just decided that they just weren't going to pay attention to that part. That's really what it is. The devil has been pretty successful in stealing that, stealing the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. You're right. They're looked down upon. They really are. The mainstream.
Like we're uneducated in the world.
Right.
You kind of look like you're lower class. So I remember that too. I like that argument where people tell you that it's already gone away because, you're not supposed to do it anymore.
Right.
But so is knowledge. So you would know. That's what they taught in the Church of Christ.
Yeah,
they said it was for the apostles.
Where is it,
baby?
I'll show you the verse. I'll show you what the verse. I'll show you where it's very clear when they say it.
They want the form, but they deny the power of the
And it says, from such, turn away from. That's right. That's right. The people who deny the power of God, stay away from them. And if you understand that word power, the dunamis, this, and it means literally the spiritual ability, which is what? Part of it is the supernatural. That's what it is. But most mainstream denominations, either they ignore it, like the Baptists do, or they out and out say it's devilish, like the Church of Christ does.
Right.
Or the Jehovah's Witness, that they literally say, if you do that, there's something wrong with you. And again, like we were just saying, those Pentecostals, you know, they're looked down on. They're just
yes.
Crazy holy rollers. Right. Jumping around and dancing around and rolling around and all that stuff, you know. Well, and of course, you got to understand. See, the Bible does say, what does it say? That if everybody speaks in tongues and you come in those that are unlearned, they're going to think you're crazy, right? Because that's part of the problem is some of the churches have gotten into that where people are running, you know, they're kind of falling around and falling over and they're going too far. It's going a little too far. And so that's part of the issue, okay? And then there's people handle snakes, you know, there's people that handle snakes. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. And let me just read the very, very end of the chapter. And remember, Corinthians is a correctional epistle, all right? Correcting wrong practices and wrong teaching. In verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, well, then let him be ignorant. If somebody wants to be stupid, sometimes you just got to let them be stupid. And that's just sometimes when you deal with people, you don't have a choice. If somebody wants to be stupid, you just got to let them be stupid. Wherefore, brethren, listen to this. Covet to prophesy, desire to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. What does that mean? Desire to prophecy, but don't tell anybody not to speak in tongues. Right? That's what it says. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. Oh, I'm sorry, this wasn't written to me. This died with the apostles. Paul just said it's what? A commandment of the Lord. I didn't write the book. But then verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order, because that was also one of the problems of Corinthians, is they weren't doing things decently and in order. But don't forbid people to speak in tongues. And if you want to see the verses that they use, chapter 13, right? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. For when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. What's that talking about? When is that talking about? When? It says now, but then. When is then? When, which is? Right, when we're called, when Christ comes back.
When we're called up yonder?
That's right, when the roll is called up yonder. That's right. I'm glad we sang that. When the roll is called up yonder, that's what it's talking about. So when is then? Is it now?
No.
No, it's then. But here's what they say. They say, when that which is perfect has come, refers to the Word of God. Once the Word of God is here, you don't need interpretation. You don't need prophet. You don't need all that stuff because you've got the Word. This is perfect. Is that then? Is that what then is? When is then? You've got to think about that. When is then? It's not when the Word comes. It's when what comes? It's when Christ comes, when that which is perfect is Christ, not the Word. So read it that way, right? Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. When? In the future. Shall is in the future. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, you won't need a word of prophecy. You won't need me speaking in tongues and interpreting to give you a message from God. Why? Because you'll be connected to God. You won't need that. You'll be right there. You won't need it. That's, you need it now. Because you shall know as you are known. That's when you'll have it, not when the word comes.
And it ceases because there's going to be a better knowledge.
That's right. You won't need it anymore. You won't need that little bit of the word of knowledge. You'll have all knowledge. You won't need a word of prophecy. You'll have everything. You'll be able to hear everything that God has to say. But that, this is it. Well, died with the apostles. It says it right here. Which version of the Bible are you using? I mean, really, come on. I mean, talk about intellectual dishonesty. I mean, really, talk about intellectual dishonesty. It really is. Talk about intellectual dishonesty. To take the Bible and to twist it and to twist it and to twist it, it's plain as day, isn't it? It died with the apostles. It says it right here. It's somewhere. I can't. Maybe it's in Leviticus. I don't know. You know.
Everything's in Leviticus.
I know. That's my joke. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, and this is the analogy, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We won't need that anymore. For now, when? Now we see through a glass darkly. You know, we can't really see everything. But then, when Christ returns, we'll be face to face. For I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. That's what it's about. So these will be, they will be done away when we don't need them anymore. And when we don't need them anymore is when Christ returns and we have the new body and the mind of Christ. So,
amen.
Okay, so, keep speaking in tongues because we need it. You need it. It's your perfect connection with God. Okie doke. Okay. I'm not normally critical, but you know, it just aggravates. You know, I've had people come in and and you know what people do? They get indignant. You don't believe the way I do? What's wrong with you? They get indignant.
That's why Chris was saying it makes you feel like you're done.
Yeah, like you're the idiot.